Calling all units, calling all units. Donut Shot has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.
And we're back! Welcome back to the Donut Shop Podcast. We're broadcasting from Feds Apparel Studio. I don't know. Donut Shop Podcast Studio?
Donut Shop Podcast. It'd be like one of those football stadiums. It's the stadium name, the field name.
We're in
name.
The skybox.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can find all your uniform needs at fedsapparel.com. I even got a store on there. You can pick up one of those. I don't know if that shirt's on there, but I have police car shirts and stuff. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. What is here is you, sir. Welcome to the show. What do I call you? Because I know you by Dave.
Dave.
We're friends.
Yes, sir. Dave.
But what's the official title?
Official title, Executive Director of the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Yes.
And I go by Dave. Official title or working title is Director when I'm at work. But I'm here with you guys. I'm so delighted to be here with you. I know of both of you. I've watched y'all online. I've watched you grow. I love the passion and energy that you bring to not just the law enforcement profession, but the behind-the-scenes look at it. Some of the interesting things that cops get excited about, which, to be honest with you, a lot of us love very cool police cars. And so I've really enjoyed watching that channel. I think the piece that you did on the Florida Highway Patrol trooper car, I think it was a Charger.
Yeah.
You've done a couple of them.
Well, shout out to Lieutenant Alex Camacho.
He's
my boy. He's watching.
He's a legend.
Yes,
and
he is.
I think you see from that response that you got online, right? You've done a lot of agencies. A lot of them have had, I don't know, millions of views.
Yeah.
But Highway Patrol, there was a lot of excitement about that.
Yes.
One. And I think that speaks to a little bit of the iconic nature of the black and tan patrol car, the iconic nature of the Florida Highway Patrol. We have 49 highway patrols or state polices throughout the U.S., with the exception of Hawaii. And they're typically very traditional, very proud, very proactive agencies. And, and I loved what you did highlighting what really ends up being the world, the home, and the office of a law enforcement officer, and that's their patrol car.
Yeah, those who doesn't like a police car?
Well, it depends.
I mean,
well, yeah.
If you're sitting in the back of it,
the small segment of society that's not really excited when they see them.
But you know what that is? That is respect. When you get that pucker factor, and I, even when I'm driving and I see somebody in the rear view, and you look down at the speedometer, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going five under. Always five under, sir. and you're going five under, but that's that respect and that's that tradition, and especially them black and tans.
Yeah.
Those black and tans are sexy, and not to boast or anything, but I think, and I know you're not going to say it, so I'll say it, I think you guys won the nation's sexiest cruiser. It's not that, but it's something like that, right? What was the official title?
Of course I'm going to say it, because we're proud of it.
That's what I'm talking about.
And y'all helped us achieve that. American Association of State Troopers Trooper Car of the Year. Hundreds of thousands of votes. A lot of people came out to support us. We even had elected sheriffs in the state come out and do videos for us. And I think it reflects well on the state of Florida. I love the state of Florida. I'm born and raised here. I love the University of Florida. That's where I went to school. But I love our history. And the black and tan is part of the culture and history of the state of Florida.
Absolutely. So went up against, was there all states, 50?
I think all 49 states that have a state highway patrol or state police.
He said Hawaii.
He threw me off. I was like, wait, is there not 50 states?
Yeah, Hawaii doesn't have a state trooper.
Oh, okay.
They do not.
Oh, I did not know that. So all 49 states.
Yeah.
And I saw the pictures. And man, there was some tough competition.
Yeah.
Saw like Camaros They had helicopters flying. These guys went all in on this. I guess they were a little upset, huh?
I hope so, because it's a very competitive environment, right?
It is.
But, you know, we're the Florida Highway Patrol. We want to win. We like to win. That's a cop's mentality. And we won. And it feels good.
And it was, you guys were, I saw it was neck and neck. I think California was the number two.
Yep.
And we're like, get out of here.
And also one of the more famous of
Chips,
troopers.
Chips. Absolutely. So.
But we're going to get a Phipps. We're going to get a Phipps. I got you, sir. I will get a Phipps in there somehow.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, Georgia came in a bit late to the competition with their highway patrol with the street takeover.
Those are our neighbors.
But, you know, they ended up with apparently a good recruiting photo.
That was something I want to talk about later. I would definitely get so you could weigh in on some of that stuff that's going on. But there was a epic Georgia state trooper little incident that occurred, and they ended up making it into a, spinning it into a recruitment thing, which I'll get you to weigh in on a little bit.
I'd love to weigh in on that.
We're gonna. Yeah. People are like, no, say it now. No, no, you gotta listen. You gotta dig. There's a lot of gold in this episode. So to go back, so FHP one, I think CH. Who you were about to say another agency?
There, Kentucky, Kentucky Highway Patrol, I think competed very well. I think they got second place. They won last year.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we were not going to lose, and so we engaged every partner, every stakeholder. Listen, the picture is obviously very important, right?
Yeah.
But as you all know, being in this business of media impressions, interaction, engagement, we worked hard to engage our Floridians that support us. And of course, being a Florida Gator, I don't know that it's accidental that there was a Gator standing right in front of the Florida Highway Patrol black and tan.
I was going to say something about the Gator.
But Gator's iconic to Florida, too. So we took two iconic things and put them in one picture.
Right.
And we let the internet
So those in radio land, in audio land, it was the trooper car. And then in the foreground was an actual Gator. I think it had its mouth mouth open.
Mouth open a bit. Yep. And I think tail was kind of.
Yeah. What are we doing next year, sir? We can't let the cat out of the bag yet.
Can't let the cat. You know what? I think I'm going to let the troopers of the Highway Patrol chief, right? So let them tell us where they we got that picture done pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been in office very long. I was just appointed in January.
He's one for one. He's undefeated.
First year,
some pressure going in next year.
Won the championship the first year.
It's lonely at the top, right? So we better double down and win again. That's otherwise, right.
Well, that was a question I was thinking. Like, how long has that competition been around, or has that been going on? Because I know I have to, for my agency, submit to certain times, like community policing vehicles and stuff, to different competitions. How long has that state trooper one been around? And then, where do you go from there? You know,
repeat, baby.
Like Nick said, let the cat.
I'm going to come right back here to help to get your engagement and your fan base. But what I will, what I would like to see outside of that competition is, we just procured some Bearcats for the Highway Patrol. I'd love for you to come out and take a look at those and do a little piece on it. And
ask no more, sir. I am there.
And of course, we have our 5.0 Mustangs, and we have a whole one thing nice that I love about the Highway Patrol is they love to preserve their history, right? And you've seen. Some of the vehicles that they have.
The retro fleet, baby.
Retro fleet.
Yeah.
We did it at Homestead. Love to focus on that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was. Bring them all out like that. And in that facility, I was like, I'm looking around. I'm like, wow. So the way that I work is I put my head down and I go. And I'm going. I don't see the trail on how far I've gone. But at that moment, when I took a pause at that point and look around, I'm at a NASCAR facility.
Yeah.
And I have the entire retro fleet. I think I was missing like two, and I got to talk to you about them. There was one of my favorite cars, the Trans Am. I think that you guys had a Trans Am. So if you're listening out there and you know of one that's out there restored, I would like to do a piece on that Trans Am. It's my favorite car. But anyways, I looked around. I was like, wow, I made it.
Yeah.
I'm still going, but I was like, this is awesome. It was breathtaking to be.
Cool moment.
And saying, man, I was the catalyst of this awesome this partnership that I have here, and it's amazing to be able to do that. So
our traffic unit just had a big meeting down there at Homestead, and they get to go out there on the motorcycles, and they ride the track on the motorcycles. They were out there with our other, you know, different cars, and they got to ride the track and stuff. They do a big traffic related meeting with all these.
Oh yeah, I saw they honored some of the.
Yeah, they usually get the awards. They usually do the awards and stuff for like Click It or Ticket and everything. Awesome. They do that at that facility this year. I think they move it around a little bit.
So to go back, we won FHP, baby.
That's right. Florida.
That's it. And I think you hit the nail on the head when it's like the picture's good. It that's the start, but it's the relationship that you have with your community, right? Because again, you can have, it's marketing 101. You can have the best product. If nobody knows about it or nobody's talking about it, nobody likes it, it's not worth anything. So you guys have the awesome car, the awesome picture, Gator mouth. It's sexy. I'm looking at all the other cars and I'm like, wow, this is going to be tough because they have some really nice pictures and the way they shot them. They have like boats and this and the cars in the front and the lighting and everything. I'm like, wow, this is tough. But the community involvement, the way that we were able to, and I say we because I have a trooper hat, sir. I just didn't bring it in. I don't know where we were at. I don't know if we were down like that yet. Well, I can say we were down. Like, I should have brought it. So, but the way that the audience got behind and was like, and that just the testament, you know, like the tradition. And whether you're a fan or not, you have to have there's a pucker factor.
There's
a pucker
factor. For me too. I mean, yeah. I drive with troopers all the time. We're just in a hurricane and, throughout the state, wherever I'm going, there's oftentimes a trooper car or two with me as I travel, and I still get looking in the rearview mirror. I say, "Oh shoot!" I don't think that will ever go away.
Yeah. it's crazy, and I'm not. You know, we have to maintain the speed limit and everything. It's just everyone knows what we're talking about.
That's right. All right. That's right.
So you have some gifts there, and there's a plate there.
Yeah.
I said, let's do this on camera.
Let me start with the plate. So
yeah.
Arrive Alive is you'll find one of these license plates on the front of every black and tan.
That's right.
And this is our motto. We transitioned to different themes over the years. Right now we're doing this. We also have a black and tan one that I'm going to get you, Justin.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
But right now we're using this one. This is for you, Nick, because of the awesome work that you did engaging the Highway Patrol and taking us up on our offer to talk about our black and tan.
Boom.
You put us over the edge.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I say iconic Highway Patrol orange. This is on the trooper's uniform. I brought two of these for each one of you.
Thank you.
The Highway Patrol is very proud of this. This has been part of the agency since 1939, and actually before that, when it was the State Road Department, it actually said SRD here. So this is part of the history and culture. I don't think it'll ever change, to be honest, at least not while I'm the executive director. And then finally,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right.
Awesome.
I have some coins for you. The Highway Patrol loves coins.
Yeah.
They love to represent. So we have and I got to give a shout out because we have Captain Ryan Martina, who's a captain in Tallahassee. He's over our Dignitary Protection Unit. He's a master at coins. He made this. It's a junior trooper coin. If you look on the back, there's an oath that says, "By the authority vested in me as a Florida State trooper, I now appoint you a junior trooper." So the troopers go around, they make them raise the right hand, and they swear in.
Oh, that's awesome.
Young kids. So we got a couple of those for you guys.
Appreciate it. And I got some kids.
We have stickers at work. This might be a new thing that we might have to invest in.
I showed it to stickers. Sheriff Edenfield from Jackson County during the hurricane, and he said, "Why didn't I think about this? I'm going to do this everywhere I go. I engage children, but stickers aren't that's more exciting than a sticker, I think, and that's our goal, is to get excitement.
So, well, and if you wash this in your wash, it's not going to ruin your shirt.
Right.
Whereas a sticker might ruin the shirt sometimes. Right. I always have to remind parents to take them off before they throw them in the wash.
And it's something tangible that a child can hold on to forever.
Yeah,
and that oftentimes, I think law enforcement is a profession that you're inspired to go into. I don't think anyone wakes up and, well, I want to be a cop. I think there was that point in time where it's like, that's what I want to do. For me, I think a lot of us are sons of our fathers, right? So my father was a Lake Worth cop for his whole career, deputy chief of police. I watched him work. I watched him lead men and women in the profession, and it inspired me. But being around police cars or having a badge that you can look at tangible that says this is what I'm working towards, it sounds silly, but for a 10-year-old, that may be the point in time where they start to think, I want to do something good for my community.
What do you think about, like, for the longest, and I guess they went away from it a little bit, but pilots, when you get on the airline, they used to give out the wings to kids. I remember always trying to hunt for one of those when I was a kid and get that. My niece just flew over, and she actually had one that they gave her, and I was like, that's awesome. And that's another thing that, just like our badge, you know, it gives kids something of pride.
Badge and wings. So my other passion in life is aviation. And I have the Delta wings from when I was like 7 or 8.
There
I still have them.
I got a question for you regarding that. I see from time to time, this highway is monitored by air patrol.
Yeah. On the turnpike.
Do we have air patrol?
We do, and actually our fleet is growing immensely. Right now we have a procurement for a Pilatus PC-12, which is a sort of state-of-the-art turbine-powered turboprop airplane that we're going to use for some dignitary transport, but primarily reconnaissance. We're going to get into the road closures and how we use our airplanes to track those folks down. We won't get too deep into it.
Yeah.
We also have a Grand Caravan turbine-powered turboprop. We have 8 other airplanes throughout the state. They have not been used up until this point in the most effective way, but since I've come in with a focus on aviation assets. I think you'll see a much more productive unit. But we've had airplanes in the Highway Patrol since, I think, the early 40s and or late 40s.
Is that when, like, when they used to sit with no, like, and they had the scarf and the, and right, the glasses and the lookout?
Yeah.
I see them over there.
I heard stories about these pilots landing on the interstate back way back when, or a country road, and having lunch with a zone trooper.
Yeah.
You can do that with a Piper Cub. You can't do that with some of our aircraft
some
now.
Some bigger ones, yeah.
Right? So you're going to see more aviation participation. We think... So the Florida Highway Patrol has to be of value to two entities, right? We have to be of value to our sheriffs and our local police, and we have to be of value to the residents of Florida. Otherwise, our future would be bleak, right? And so one of the things that we find in my time here is that in North Florida, a lot of those rural counties don't have their own aviation units. And so we yeah. can do pursuit intervention, reconnaissance for them, and that brings value. They're going to go to the legislature and say, we appreciate the Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that mission is far different than it is in South Florida. And so aviation is going to be part, a strong core part of our agency moving forward, and that's why we've worked hard to procure some new aircraft.
Yeah, they, you could the state is really diverse as far as the you said there's urban areas, rural, there's yep. very condensed population areas. I know these Miami guys are kind of like city cops, the right. way that the highway runs all through the city,
yep.
and they're, you know, off and on. So they're kind of like city cops. But if you go up north or central, you got long stretches of highway where there's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they're still criminals, right?
Of
so they're working alone. The deputies were. I started in law enforcement at 19 in the city of Alachua, which. It's a North Florida town.
I'm glad you said it, because I say Alachua.
Alachua. It's actually Alachua if you're from there.
Oh, Alachua. Oh, okay.
Alachua. You know, my backup was the Highway Patrol.
Yeah.
The deputy's backup was the trooper. And I made a lot of incredible relationships. Some of those guys have went from Alachua to the Highway Patrol, and I'm still very close with them. And that brings me to my next point about the diversity of this agency. I have two coins for you guys. When we talk about air assets, it's not just aircraft piloted by pilots or troopers. We have a nationally renowned UAV section.
Ooh.
So this is from Sergeant Dooley. He's a renowned leader in drones.
Mm-hmm.
We use them in a lot of instances. This is their official drone coin.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
I think Dooley told me he owed me one of these. I met him in Fort Myers when I was deployed.
Yeah.
We were over there talking drone stuff and I hooked up with him a little bit. So that's awesome to see that or see the coin.
And all right.
Thank you.
We use the drones not just for reconnaissance. We used it for some street takeovers down in Miami recently, along with our aviation assets. But now we're starting to use it for both border integrity and then also THI investigations.
You know,
one of the big things as an administrator for me is getting the roadway open. These are our arteries of commerce.
Yes.
You know how it feels to sit in traffic.
Yeah.
But we have an investigation that needs to be done. How do we do it efficiently and effectively? Drones are becoming a big part of that footprint, and it's an exciting time in law enforcement.
I get pulled once in a while by our traffic unit to, you know, hey, I'm going to shut the road down, and you shut it down for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm snapping the pics for them,
yep.
getting them just a better for traffic investigation. You need to be able to see the tire marks yep. and stuff. And from the ground, it's tougher to see the tire marks.
Yeah.
So from above, you can see the tire marks and you can better explain what happened in that crash. So it's great.
Well, people are like, wow, that's a lot of stuff. I don't want to make it seem like we're total POSs. We have a mug here, and I give a Dick Off Duty coin. That was off camera, guys. So those are those. Yes. I mean, he outdid us, of course. That's FHP. Go big or go home. You know what
well,
I'm talking about?
Listen, you guys invited me here, and by extension, the Florida Highway Patrol, and anyone that gives me a platform to talk about our incredible state troopers and our agency means the world to me. So it's just a little token of our appreciation. I love the mug. I'm going to cherish it, but I felt very welcome and loved when I came here,
right.
And I appreciate that. Thank
so,
you.
Awesome. So let's take a quick break, and when we get back, I want to talk about pit maneuvers, street takeovers. There's a bite program, and they're like, what? Is that dog bites? What? Well, we're going to talk about that right when we get back from this quick break.
Bye.
If you want to work at a place where the leadership is on the same page as the PBA, which is on the same page as the troopers, go to beatrooper.com. Come be one of Florida's finest and know that you work at a place where we support you and we love you and we appreciate you.
Are you a police officer? Do you work at a police department that is hiring? Well, guess what? This is the opportunity in a lifetime for you. You could be featured on a Donut Shop podcast commercial break, letting us know that your department is hiring. So if you're interested in recruiting on the podcast for free, go to www.donutshoppodcast.com. Go to the contact us portion of the website, and then you can submit your info there. Remember, it's for free. Let's get back to the show. Are we back?
We're back.
I love it. We had a little side talk on the side, and I said, let's bring it to the front. All right. We mentioned we teased the BITE program.
Yep.
So obviously, law enforcement, everything is an acronym. So BITE is actually an acronym for, and I don't want to mess it up, so.
Border Integrity, Trafficking Enforcement, and it's an effort. So Florida Highway Patrol has a pretty big footprint with canines and felony officers. So we have 60 CI, criminal interdiction unit troopers. Half of them have a canine. The other half work with that canine to do interdiction.
Sir, and I don't know if you're, I'm sure you're aware, but I have on the editing bay, your Florida, South Florida interdiction squad, we did a night together, and we have some good stuff, sir. It's gonna be a movie. Those guys put in some work, let me tell you that.
They are the professionals beyond the definition of that term, and I ride with them. I've been out there with them, and they do God's work. Those canines are amazing. I'm a big dog fan, but Florida Highway Patrol has a very strong, well-trained, professional statewide force that does interdiction.
Yes.
And then Governor DeSantis deployed 100 of our troopers to Texas to work on the border. We've been out there since about March of this year, March or April, and they're working with DPS, Texas Highway Patrol, and they're doing interdiction. They're doing border human interdiction, human smuggling. They're getting in pursuits.
So traffic,
trying to hold it down.
Traffic, like as in trafficking.
Trafficking. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right, so, yeah. Because I know we said traffic, and they're like people might get confused, but it's trafficking. Like
it's trafficking drugs, humans, human labor, yeah. Narcotics, weapons. We're not going to get political, and I'm not a political person. I work for Governor DeSantis in the cabinet, and I'm a chief executive of a department, and I have my duties, but I have my own observations, and being down in Texas, there's a problem with people being able to cross the border undetected. And so the governor of that state asked Governor DeSantis for the Highway Patrol and some other entities to come. And from that grew the BITE program. And so what Border Integrity and Trafficking Enforcement Team does is we bring in sheriff's deputies, other agencies that are on the border, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, even as far as out as California. And a lot of those lands and jurisdictions are very rural, right? You have hundreds of miles of border with no prophylactic measure to stop people. And so what we do is we bring them over here and we have a little academy for them. We teach them what we're doing, how we're doing it through the drones, through the dogs, through training, and then what are they doing? And really it's designed for local and state law enforcement to grow those relationships so that we're never reliant upon a federal government to have entire control of one space in law enforcement, right? So immigration is generally a federal issue, but that doesn't mean that states can't band up together and work together to protect the border. And well, I think that
states are being affected. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
it's our communities being affected. We have a very proud history, particularly in South Florida, with immigration in South Central American space. And there's a diversity of views about whether illegal immigration is good or bad. But a lot of that was legal immigration. And so the result of the Texas border and the Southwest border is that Florida ends up receiving a lot of the worst people that come undetected, right? You have people that want to come here and do a good job. There's a segment of those folks that are coming here with a bad purpose. And Florida in particular is a state, a known travel destination for those folks that want to do harm to our communities and want to participate in criminal activity. Right. And so we have an interest as a state in assisting on the border.
So that's what I was going to get at. It's like, okay, so is it because the two governors are friendly co-parts there that they're like, hey, you got anybody to help out? It's like, no, because our governor is like, hey, we're kind of getting affected by what's happening down there. Let us go. Can we work together to kind of plug up some holes and maybe give some of our resources? Right. So that's kind of how we got involved. Yeah, and we kind of like right. deputized
yep.
by them.
Yep. We all of us went over there in the first wave and got sworn in. And then every wave that occurs thereafter, they get sworn in. There's a whole process. But if any of you or you know folks that work interdiction on the interstate and you get that 40 pounds of meth or you get that fentanyl or you have people being smuggled, 9 times out of 10, there's some nexus to the Mexican cartel, right? And so it's going past that border and it's coming to Florida. And we know what the fentanyl crisis is doing. We know that there are a lot of victims in this community that are working against their will. And we have an interest and an obligation as law enforcement officers to work to stop that. And it's a difficult issue.
So our guys are going out there. And right now at this point, is it just Florida Highway Patrol? Or you said there were some sheriffs? Or how does that work?
So right now from Florida, we have 101 Florida Highway Patrol troopers. We have, I think, about 15 to 20 FWC officers that do God's work on the Rio Grande River there. I've seen them in action. I've seen them doing some incredible things with one hand on that airboat. There's a video out there
sir, next time you go out there, you got a camera guy here. You got to let me get out there and do some vlogs.
I think you'd be fascinated by what you really see out there.
Yeah.
And we're finding 14 and 15 year olds with AR-15s and 40 pounds of, and they're not doing this because they're bad people. It's basically a cartel driven industrial organization over there.
Yeah. They're moving this.
And an open border just supports that. It supports it with human labor, free human labor, and it supports it with capital, right? So all that money that's made selling these drugs and selling these people for labor, it goes back to the cartel, and it's a very devilish organization.
So if I'm a sheriff, do I know about this program, or is it just for Florida to be involved in this program, or can I be from another state? Do you know of other states that are involved?
The pitch that I would give is if you're a Southwest border or a large interstate jurisdiction, I-10, whatever those pathways are in other states, they know them. These sheriffs know them. These local police know them. If you want to work with a professional organization and see what we're doing in real time and see if we can assist you in that, and maybe most likely you're going to have things to teach us as well, go to FHP website, reach out to me. We will have you down here at Camp Blanding. We work with our National Guard, and you can see in real time what we're trying to do and how we can partner with you. And so we're trying to stand up an effort nationwide to interdict these criminals.
Right. And because I know you were talking about states banding together, and I want to segue into something that kind of, you know, relates to this, is that we were talking before, you didn't really know about this.
Know.
And I don't think a lot of people know about it, but there's a Florida Guard now, essentially is like, and again, I'll let you explain it because I got the explanation. I actually have somebody at work that went through boot camp, I guess it's called, where he was out there for weeks and went through the boot camp, and he's a former SWAT guy. He's still active with us, but now he's a part of the Florida Guard. So you want to explain a little bit about the Florida Guard?
The Florida Guard is not a new institution or concept.
Yep.
They really were authorized starting around the World War II time, and they're separate and distinct from the National Guard. And after World War II, I think some states went away from standing up a state guard. Governor DeSantis saw the value in having everyday citizen guard members who are willing to go help out in hurricanes, are willing to help law enforcement, willing to do some of the grunt work that goes on in this profession, but do it as a volunteer, but that well-trained professional volunteer. And so in the last legislative session, the governor and the legislature reauthorized it. They've diverted or they've applied a lot of resources in terms of money, equipment, professional talent to help train. And in fact, they were just activated for the first time. We got to work with them, the Highway Patrol, during Hurricane Idalia in North Florida.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful concept, right? So the Florida National Guard, which reports to the National Guard Bureau in Washington, we don't have a whole lot of say as a state as to how many authorized members we have in that comes from a bureaucracy in Washington, and we have the lowest or second lowest per capita National Guard staffing in the nation. So Governor DeSantis said, what can I do? As he often does, he says, what can we do better, and how do we go about doing that? He stood up the Florida State Guard, and I think you're going to see a lot of value, participation, and good deeds come from this organization in the future.
Yeah, I know it's not new, but it is, I guess, reborn.
Correct.
And, you know, once the infrastructure and it starts getting built up and more resources, once the word gets out about this, I have a feeling, because there's a lot of Florida fans of Florida that live in Florida, that are proud of Florida, especially nowadays, yes. Things that are happening around the nation, that I'm proud to be from Florida. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere else, any other state. I love my Florida. So if there's any way to give back, I'm sure once the word gets out, I'm sure that will beef up. The numbers will beef up tremendously.
So you say volunteer. I mean, obviously volunteer because you're selecting to join, but is it volunteer during your time when you're deployed, or is it a, you know, like Florida National Guard, if you get deployed, we've had officers that are part of that worked during COVID at sites, right, and stuff like that. You know, they're obviously getting paid by the guard, by the Guard, the Army. And
so you're saying, are you monetary compensated for the time that you're there when you're active duty?
Yeah, there is a monetary component to it when you are activated. But think about like reserve officers in law enforcement, how much talent there is, how many people have left the profession full time, but we still draw on their expertise.
Sure.
They come out and patrol. They apply their skills in other areas of the department. So times that by a million, right? How many retired, active duty, tactically sound, 10-8, so to speak, people that are in private life, civilian life, but still want to provide their expertise and their work ethic to the state of Florida?
Of course.
The Florida State Guard is the best way to apply those skills and that passion.
The gentleman that's in it at my job there, one of the most tactical guys that we have, and he is he's at the end of his career. He's about to retire in the next couple of years. He went there and he said the same thing. He's like, there's a lot of dudes that know what they're doing over there. They're tactically sound. They're just freshly retired, and they're just like, hey, this is how I can provide service. And I like the fact that it's like we don't have to wait, because imagine activating a National Guard. I mean, I'm sure there's a process, some red tape you got to get through, and there's maybe hours, days, maybe a week or so, something. That whole time, if a hurricane hit, like the one we had in Fort Myers, I know the recent one we had just now, there's people waiting and like, hey, they need help.
Yep.
So if you're your state, like, hey, we're going to throw everything at it like ASAP right now. Get out there now. And I think it's a very good tool to have. And, you know, I applaud the idea of having something like that.
I do too, and it engages a whole population that whose expertise we would otherwise lose. And so one of the, I think, mantras of Governor DeSantis is, what should government be doing? And if they're going to do that, do it very well, be very effective at it. That's why he's so supportive in law enforcement. Public safety is a core mission of government, but responding to emergencies should be as well. Our National Guard does a great job. Our local agencies do a great job. The Highway Patrol is a big component of that. But why not have passionate Floridians stand up in the Guard and say, we're gonna help, and here's how. And they're doing it. They just did it in Idalia, and it was a very special moment for the history of the state.
I think it's I think they have an Instagram. It's like Florida Guard or something like that. We'll put it up on the screen so you can check it out, and we'll link it down below. They have an Instagram up. There's not that, like I said, they're newer, so there's stuff coming out. But if you're interested, go check it out there. And I'm sure there's a website you can Google and check it out, Florida Guard. Definitely something cool.
Yeah, and it's funny because you mentioned the officer in your department. So I had a litany of troopers all the way to the rank of captain whose applications I couldn't sign off. They were selected to be part of it. I said, but there's a conflict here. When we're in an emergency, Highway Patrol Act, you can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
But I understood, and I wasn't surprised as to why state troopers wanted to be a part of that organization. It's historical. They're getting in at the front end, which is an exciting time, right, when it's being reactivated. And they get to be part of an organization that does good work for the people.
Instagram is Florida State Guard Official.
There you go.
For anybody listening.
There's a gator.
It's a black and white with a gator. Yeah. And
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have some doing that gator?
Yes, sir.
That might be a copywritten gator. No, I'm just kidding. It looks very close to a logo that you enjoy.
Yeah. So we talked about the bike program. I really wanted to touch on the Florida Guard. I thought it was interesting. A fun fact that, you know, again, and it's starting to build up a little bit, so people might hear more about it. But breaking news on the Donut Shop podcast. You want to take a quick one, or are we still going? You want to move into it?
Let's go. Let's keep going.
All right. It's those gosh darn street takeovers.
Yep.
People don't understand that. They're like, oh, they're just traffic. What's the problem? It's lawlessness. It's the start of something. It's the little crack in the boat.
Correct.
You know, that starts the, if you don't take care of those little cracks, they become something bigger. And it has shown already. It started with dirt bikes, you know, the wheels up stuff. Let's ride out, let's ride the wrong way. Now let's take over this. Let's go to that. It's, and then little by little, it's getting very violent now. We had, I know locally we had shootings at some of these takeovers, yeah. And they do it on highways and they do it on intersections. And, I know recently it's pretty much enough is enough. And now, it goes with like local law enforcement. There are some restrictions as to how we could approach. And then we team up with agencies that might have different policies, a little more lenient, or that's just their forte. And I know recently there have been a lot of agencies come together, and you guys are I would say, one of the leaders in this. And I wanted to see if you could weigh in a little bit, because it's something that definitely, even though some might not some might have an issue with, by what I mean by that is saying, it's not that big of a deal, but it affects everybody. It affects everybody because little by little, that's going to turn into something huge. And if it's not already, you saw it from the beginning to where it is now. Who's to say if it continues, where is it going to be? So I want to see if you could weigh in on that a little
bit. You know, so cancer starts the same way.
Yep.
And it ends up killing you if it goes unabated, right? And law enforcement over this last generation has gone away from, I'll say pursuits, first of all. A lot of agencies don't participate in pursuits for a variety of political or operational reasons. The Florida Highway Patrol, we see things very differently than a lot of other agencies, right? So we train our troopers to be in pursuits. I encourage them to participate in pursuits. Our leadership does. Our policies allow them, and in the very near future, you'll see a new policy that allows us to box in motorcycles that flee. But my position is that you're well-trained. We trust you to do a job. Every time we shut our lights off and let someone go, that cancer grows.
Yep.
And we are in the midst of a cycle here where motorcyclists, the people that drive these fast cars and do this road rage, intersection type stuff, they run for the fun of it. And if you have a trooper behind you, it'll be about 10 to 15 seconds before that trooper pits you and puts you in a ditch.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing in Florida.
That's what I'm talking about.
And there was just a pursuit, an armed robber and a rapist from Fort Lauderdale went through three jurisdictions, Palm Beach County. You know, our troopers are out there. We invest a lot of money in them on how they learn to drive at high speeds. We just allocated $20 million for a high-speed pursuit course to be built in Tallahassee.
Sir.
We're going to have you out there. You're going to be a nationally renowned resource, not just for the Highway Patrol, but for our partner agencies. But we are very pro-enforcement, and we are very pro-law and order. And so the trooper out there, if you see him, know that he's empowered to do what he needs to do to get that car off the road, because each and every one of those vehicles, whether it's a motorcycle or it's a Dodge Charger with, you know, loud pipes on it, or it's a Miata that can't go over 80 miles an hour, it doesn't matter. If you're operating it in the way that we've seen, it's a deadly missile. It's a bullet that's going to kill somebody, and we're not going to tolerate that. Now, does that mean we're going to be able to stop it unilaterally? No. But FHPC is a very real space for us to participate in this effort. If we can't, I said earlier in this podcast, if we can't provide value to the city police department and the sheriff's office, then we don't have a strong future. So we very much see pursuits and pursuit intervention, whether it's through our aircraft, identification through aircraft, unique strategies like boxing in motorcycles, or just putting people into a ditch. The Florida Highway Patrol is well prepared, and they do that every day, and I support that.
So you're saying it's going to be a little more lenient now, or there's going to be more opportunity for them to perform the precision immobilization technique to pit?
My direction is that if the vehicle flees,
mm-hmm.
then a pit maneuver should be executed as soon as practical thereafter.
Oh,
that's it.
Seems good enough.
Straightforward.
Hopefully that becomes a blanketed for all agencies. I know it's not going to. It's just a boy could wish.
Well, and listen, where do we operate, right?
Yeah.
We operate in areas where that technique can be used pretty effectively. Is it easy to do that technique in the heart of Fort Lauderdale city proper?
No.
But if we get him behind somebody, my expectation, the colonel's expectation, is that we don't allow that pursuit to continue. You execute a pit maneuver and you take them into custody.
I like it. That's one of the things that when we do get authorized, when it meets the criteria for us to get behind a vehicle and pursue them, we hope that they get onto the highway.
Right.
Because when the moment they get on the highway and we see the black and tans coming up, you kind of just going to move out of the way and let them get in and handle business.
And that's one way we can support local law enforcement, right? Yeah. We have those big bumpers on our car.
Yes.
We have we have training, and we have the I said offline before we went live is that being the executive director of this department, one of the things that I love about it is that we're insulated from the day-to-day politics and the drama that goes on with it. We have a mission. I'm told to execute on that mission, and we do that. And so we don't get into the nitty-gritty of what is popular today or not popular tomorrow. You run from the police, then you should be held accountable.
So you're not following trends. You're following tradition.
We're following the law.
You like right? that? Yeah. That could be a bumper sticker.
I like it.
We're not following trends. We're following tradition. I love it. So I'm a fan. I know because we don't get to do the pit maneuver. However, sir, I have done several pit maneuvers on a TV show.
Yeah, you were a TV star.
I was on a Discovery Channel, and I was on a TV show where it was street racers versus, well, they called us pursuers at that point, but we were police. They were all police from different parts of the nation, and they selected me. They found me on YouTube. I don't know. I guess I do some videos about police cars. Yeah. Like, have you ever been in a chase before? And I was in our tactical robbery unit where there was plenty of containments and pursuits and yada, yada, yada. We're not going to get into that. But I was on there, and just so you know, and I don't know if it's just in the Florida stuff, but out of everybody on the show who was sanctioned to do pits, and one guy who wasn't, they said that I had the most technically sound pits. Yeah. Can you believe that? And I had the highest number of pits on the show.
Because you've sat and watched and gone, this is how you do it. If I were ever allowed to do it, you like salivated on doing it. And so the other guys got to do it, and they probably...
Hey, listen, at one point, a book had to be written, okay? And that guy had no book to write it.
That's
right. So it was in the blood. I could be the reincarnated version of that person.
Here's the other side of that coin, though, if I may, is our policy redraft also encourages intentional contact. So PIT is a very precise intervention, but when you have somebody driving down the wrong way in the interstate and they're about to kill a family of four, I don't care how you get that vehicle off the road, whether you ram the side of them or you do a precise PIT maneuver, what do we say? Eliminate the threat.
Yeah,
Tampa on the Skyway.
Correct. Tony right Shuck, Trooper of the Year.
Yeah. Trooper of the Year.
So proud of her.
Yeah.
So I'm not familiar. Can you elaborate?
He's probably
a little
bit? Got the story.
Yeah.
Well, so our Trooper of the Year for last year and the National Trooper of the Year is a Florida Highway Patrol trooper named Tony Shuck. She was on patrol on the Skyway Bridge. There was a marathon going on, and the video is so impactful. And there's a DUI person who broke through the barrier and is headed towards the marathon itself at very high rate of speed. Tony Trooper Shuck was on that bridge, and she made an intentional decision to drive or to maneuver into the front of that vehicle that was coming right at her.
Oh,
you need to watch this video.
Head on. Dude, same thing.
And someone,
head on, boom.
Someone told me after the award ceremony, because everyone's aware of our pursuit policy that we're about to put out, that it's going to come from a place of trust, right?
Right.
We're going to trust you to do your job. And I remember someone telling me that she was fearful that she was going to get in trouble because intentional contact wasn't permitted by the policy.
Yeah.
I don't want a trooper to ever second guess themselves when they're in an enforcement posture.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, my leadership and Colonel Howe's through the governor, that's where this agency is headed, is we trust you to do what you need to do to get the job done. And if we make a mistake, right, we're going to learn from it. You all have been in pursuits. The first pursuit that you're in, you probably don't remember much about it. You had the tunnel vision.
Yeah.
By the fifth or sixth time, you know, you're much more tactically aware of your surroundings, what you're doing, where they're headed, you know, working with other units. And so I encourage our troopers to be in these high stress situations, because the more you do it, the more effective you're going to be, and the safer we're going to be at it. And so that's where the Highway Patrol is headed in Florida.
Yeah, to touch back on his policy, there's always that joke. You'll win Officer of the Month, but then also here, sign your write-up too, because as she was fearful of, she's going to get that write-up for an intentional maneuver.
Never again in the Florida Highway Patrol.
That's an exciting thing to know that your administration backs you.
It's good, and to have that second guessing, I mean, I hope people are listening that are not police and understand what is going on with officers these days. And, officers don't do anything. I mean, there's a lot of that where they're scared.
Yeah.
You know, being seasoned, I guess you can say I'm a little seasoned. You're preserving life at that point. There's a whole bunch of people, pedestrians, and there's somebody coming. They got to eat it, whether you have a policy or not, and then you just deal with it afterwards.
Right. Well, not just deal with it, but instead of putting these people in fear that they're going to be disciplined, we celebrate their sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Okay, I want every trooper to know that we love what you do, we appreciate what you do, and you do God's work. And the colonel and myself and our administration have your back 1,000%. And if you want to work at a place where the leadership is on the same page as the PBA, which is on the same page as the troopers, go to beatrooper.com. Come be one of Florida's finest, and know that you work at a place where we support you and we love you and we appreciate you.
That's awesome.
That's going in the commercial break. I'll clip that out.
I'm about to head over there right now, sir. I got 3 years left where I'm at. I'm about to start a second career. You go pit some people. Do you guys take laterals on the serious note?
Yeah,
we do.
Do you
take laterals? Is there a program for that?
So we've been working on our salary and our competitive career development plan. We've seen a lot of positive movement in that. So what we've seen here recently is troopers that left want to come back, or just people that are tired of the politics of whatever department they're at. So the Highway Patrol offers three options. If you're not certified, you can come, and if you're selected, do 29 weeks in Tallahassee, go through the basic recruit class, the whole thing. If you are certified but have less than 2 years, you can come and do a 10-week transition course. Or if you're certified and have more than 2 years, you can come and do a 4-week lateral course, and it's all in Tallahassee. You know, the Highway Patrol of the past was very reliant and very very narrow in its view about what it should be doing, and that was, you know, writing tickets on interstate. For us to survive, we have to have a broader mission, and we do have a broader mission now. But what we've seen is that as we get laterals or transition officers from city PDs or sheriff's offices, the culture of the agency is changing as well, right? Like, a lot of city officers want to go do street crimes or go look for dope on traffic stops, and we encourage that at this agency. If you want to be on the task force with the DEA, the Highway Patrol is a place to be. If you want to be a pilot, come to the Highway Patrol. So there's those laterals, those officers with experiences have actually changed the focus and the skill set of the Florida Highway Patrol, and I think it's a beautiful thing.
It is. And I want to throw it in there. You guys have an airboat. I saw it off the Broward Troop. There's an airboat sitting in your lot.
Oh, yeah, over in Davie.
Yeah, you saw it? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that airboat one, I think we take a break.
Yep.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right. Hey, what's up, guys? Just so you know, we created a Donut Shop Podcast Clips channel. Just clips, meat and potatoes, some of the best parts of each of our episodes are going to be over on that channel. You can go check it out. Hit the link down in our description. Like, follow, and subscribe. All the stuff over on that channel, too. Help us out.
And we're back. What's your favorite police car that you ever driven, I guess? Because you were a trooper. I mean, Alachua.
It probably wasn't that one. It was like a 1997, the old school Crown Vic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that had like the chrome accents on it.
Yeah.
Like little,
yeah, that yeah. was. I loved it to death, but it should not have been in police service. Yeah. I've driven a F-250 when I was a reserve officer with FWC, but by far, let me say one that I haven't driven, I hope to one day, is our old Fox Body 5.0
Ooh.
Mustangs that we still have. I'd like to drive that one day.
Yeah, I heard they get a little squirrely when they get up there.
Yeah,
the butt end of it.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
They're pretty light cars, yeah, in that 5 liter. But in our current fleet, we have unmarked Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the one in Lake Worth, in the Troop L, which is my hometown, the trooper there, Asarupe, retired, and he was a legend on the interstate. He did a lot of enforcement. And so the Mustang was sitting there one day, and I was down from Tallahassee, and I was like, hey, Captain, let me drive this.
So, you are the boss.
So he's like, it's your car, sir. I said, it ain't my car, but I'm going to drive it. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, that car was awesome. I'm a big Mustang guy to begin with. I had the GT500 Shelby in the 2014, which was 662 horsepower.
Whoa.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not a safe car. but the reality is, in this day and age, like, you have to have, or the Highway Patrol has to have some unmarked units that people don't see you coming, right?
Yeah.
And that Mustang, from what I've heard from feedback from troopers, is that it gets up and goes very quick. I know that it does because I drove it. But that it's also comfortable enough to be an everyday driver. We're looking at Camaros as well. We talked offline about what our bread and butter is the Charger, also one of my favorite patrol cars as well. Slick top Charger, I don't think you can beat it. I think it's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
Durangos are great as well. But that 5.0 iconic Mustang from back in the day, really cool car.
Yeah. I was honored to have it. Actually came down from Orlando to ride the Homestead Speedway, and that was awesome.
The car is up in Orlando?
Yeah, the car was from up in Orlando. Oh, yeah. And I got to ride around on the track. Obviously, Camacho drove it, but I was like, man. But it's like you're going in a time machine when you get in there. It smells like the 1980s. You know that smell? Yeah.
And now you mentioned the Trans Am, right?
Smoking
the Bandit had the bubble circle blue light on the top.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have one of those in our fleet. If we do, I'll find it.
Yeah.
But that's such a beautiful car. That's an iconic 70s, 80s.
Yeah, I want to get the one with the eagle on the front, the little golden eagle in the front, you know what I'm talking about, on the hood.
That's
my dream car there. I don't know why.
I got to drive.
I want to wear a leather jacket when I
got to drive one when I was in high school in 99.
Yeah,
we're kind of same age, and those years, those like 1999 Trans Am.
Oh yeah, okay.
When they looked just like the Camaro almost, but it was just, you could tell by the front that they were a Trans Am versus a Camaro. Yeah. I got in trouble.
All right, this is going to be a controversial topic now, sir. What about those electric cars?
What about them?
I know. Have you ever been in one of them? Forget the functionality and that if they can work for police work, because that's a huge topic. And you know, I just did the Police Fleet Expo where I got to test vehicles, and I got in one of their Mustang Mach-Es. I mean, it wasn't pursuit rated. They said it's not pursuit rated. There is a Blazer coming out. It's full EV, and it is pursuit rated. So it's going to get interesting, is what I'm saying. But I have my dad actually has a Tesla, and the sport one, the fast one, the ludicrous mode.
Wow.
Oh, have you ever driven in one of those?
I've driven in it. I hadn't driven it.
Oh, I've driven it.
You want to drive a Y? There's one out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
That's his. You just sink and It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Okay.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. So, but your take on the EV stuff?
My personal take is you can pry from my cold, dead hands my internal combustion engine, my American V8.
Yeah.
Is there a space in the future for it in law enforcement? I assume so. Yeah. Not immediate future for the Highway Patrol. But it's certainly a renaissance of technology right now that we're going through, and the products become better and better. But for what we do and what we need to do on the highways and long distances and long shifts, it's not something that we've even discussed at the department.
You see, I can totally understand that because of how many miles you guys put, and you know where you're driving, and the juice it takes to get to romp on those things,
right?
And then the downtime it has. For maybe a large agency in a city, if there's like a parking meter or something that's not doing like you know, I gotta chase or go call the car or run a code 3 here or there and there, and they're just going, maybe that might work for
Cities are getting them for detectives that might be driving.
Yeah, they're mainly at the station, but they go out to interview somebody or back and forth, but not everyday police work. I don't foresee it to be there yet.
Right. Everyday police work, regardless of highway or city. I mean, if you have to step on that accelerator hard, my understanding is batteries drain very quickly under those circumstances.
Yeah.
That's just not a good dynamic for police work.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're fun when you... If you don't have to go far, I've driven my pop. Shout out to Pops.
Wow.
He's got it in red, too. It's a traffic ticket machine, that thing.
Generator.
Is that true about those red cars? You know they had that myth that red cars get the most tickets. You heard about that myth? You
think I have true? Heard about it.
I think it just maybe because it stands out.
Well, they've always said that like light cars were good because they were always visible, but then they were also always visible.
Visible, yeah.
So you were getting caught speeding. You could pick out on a highway and you're looking at cars and you're like, that white one is doing something different.
Yeah.
Or it may not have been doing something different. It just feels like it's doing something different.
Well, I also think, personal opinion, not tested by any science here, but red car, right? So that's a loud car.
Yeah.
I've never purchased a red car.
Yeah.
But if I were to purchase a red car, I would probably be buying a car that goes fast, that you want to stand out.
True.
Ferraris are red, right?
Yeah.
Corvettes are red.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of red Corollas or Fusions. But so if you're getting a red car, maybe demographically, those are faster cars with people with a personality that want to go a little bit quicker. I don't know. But having...
Again, not a lot of science, but it makes sense.
None. No
it
science.
It makes sense.
No science.
Little red Corvette.
That's the attorney in him justifying.
Right.
That's true. It makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a good argument. Could be completely... It sounds good, but you know we got to back it up with some scientific research.
I'll report back.
My dad's always loved red trucks. But, yeah.
Do you know about the blue lights? Because that's something that people ask about. The all blues.
What about them?
So there's like, from my understanding, you know, blue represents traffic, whereas red, but this goes from state to state, it varies. But people always ask me whenever I do FHP, is like, why all the blues? Now, I have been explained to is like, that's what the big dog wants.
Right.
And so that's what we are. So I don't know if there was anything behind there. It was just like, it's just tradition again.
So, and I'm not even like, I was appointed 6-7 months ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm from outside the department.
You're undefeated still, sir, by the way.
That's going to happen. But, I told everyone when I got there, I don't want any red lights on the cars.
Right.
I think I got that bias from being a fan of the Highway Patrol to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little sensitive because we went through this chapter where we had this light bar that would actually mm-hmm. transition from blue or to red during the day.
The clear one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what company it was, but that was not a happy, proud chapter for the Highway Patrol. But the bottom line is blue is police in Florida, right?
Yeah.
So. There are studies that maybe red's a bit more visible during the day, but I think the preference internally is we just want blue on our patrol cars, and that's
it. And if
it.
You put more and more lights on it, it's just as visible as maybe red is supposed to be. You could just if you just force blue all over the car, I think people will see it.
Yeah,
you know?
Come a long way from that one red light on the side of the
right?
car.
Yeah. Right,
right in the middle.
Did you know that California Highway Patrol has to have that on there? There's a law that all their police cars still have to have a red some solid red light.
And it must be steady. So I don't know, it must be historical throwback, much like Michigan State Police has that they have to have the bubble and that glass thing on their hood that says pull over or stop or something.
And they have that bubble light too.
I think there was just a news report of Michigan State Trooper cars that got lit on fire by a man that went to one of their substations and lit cars on fire. And in that picture, I was looking at it, and each of them, they're like brand new Expeditions,
right?
But they've got a light bar, and then they've got a blue. One blue crown of
a point in time.
Light,
where the tradition, you have to give a little bit of tradition.
You have to go away.
When you have the that light circling up top.
But they're LED now, so you know, it's a little bit more effective. Maybe you've noticed on our Chargers that I think it's Federal Signal, but that's the new vector light bar, right?
Yeah.
So it's still triangle, which is kind of a throwback to those
old vectors.
That old chapter of the rotators. And
when they had the flying V.
Stealing lens caps from down cars because mine were fogged.
Reallocating.
Just keep a little hex key in your.
So you dance around it. You're saying the Mustang. is number one. Yeah. If I had to say, sir, choose what police car you want. Mustang.
Well, no.
Ah! He's still going.
You know, listen, I'm an administrator.
Yeah.
I just turned 40 last week, you know.
Hey, welcome.
Happy birthday.
Club. I'm starting to, back starting to hurt.
Okay.
It's a young man's job, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was an enforcement posture, you know, I was a state trooper, that would be the car that I would want. But really the Tahoe for me is the most, you get the most utility out of it. You can carry a lot of equipment and it rides very nicely. So.
Okay. And you've got a little bit of a higher clearance flooding and stuff like that. I want to ask you, aside from being FHP boss and stuff like that, you oversee Department of Highway Safety and DOT too, right?
Because
I saw you on TV
with
the governor and emergency manager and everything right in the lead up to Hurricane Idalia. So there's some other stuff that you have to go over, and then with like hurricane response most recently.
So the Florida Highway Safety Motor Vehicles is a department of the state, and so I have three divisions within that. That's the Division of Florida Highway Patrol, then Division of Motor Services, which is all your tags, licenses, registrations, titling issues, and then the third one is Information Services, which is it's sort of the technology, credentialing, storage, CJIS stuff. And then there's another sworn component called the Office of Inspector General. In Florida, it's the DMV and the Highway Patrol grouped into one department, and I'm the department head. So I report to the governor and the cabinet. And I have a lot of great career troopers that I have in command positions, from the colonel down to our lieutenant colonels and chiefs. That's all they do is the Highway Patrol, and then our Division of Motor Services just does that, and our Inspector General and his investigators just do that. So I oversee that entire portfolio, but am heavily invested and engaged in the Highway Patrol side. And that was when I spoke with the governor and the transition team. My goal has always been to be a law enforcement administrator and to empower those officers, because that's what we would want. That's what we want as cops.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been my main focus. But I have to tell you, as I've learned more and more about cybersecurity and credentialing and computer systems and CJIS stuff, it's been a fascinating last 6 or 7 months for me to learn about that stuff from awesome government professionals.
Yeah, we're big on the real-time crime center stuff. I don't know if you guys have that implemented with the cameras that you have out there, as far as I know you guys have some highway cameras out there.
Right.
But that could be something also, too. You don't have a real-time crime center type deal.
We don't. We rely heavily upon our partner agency, FDLE, and our local partners. I mean, really, you know, particularly in South Florida, where the tax bases have grown, the population has grown. I look at South Florida, and being born and raised in Palm Beach County, looking at my sheriff's office and the local agencies here in Broward and Miami-Dade, really a lot of the innovation comes from local law enforcement in South Florida. And so we're reliant upon you guys to feed us that intel stream. We have investigators, and they do great work, but we don't have a system like you guys have in many of your departments down here. But it's teamwork, right?
Right.
So we all work together.
So there, you mentioned investigators, and we have a traffic homicide unit.
Right.
So if we have a motor vehicle crash and there's a fatality, our regular patrol, I don't call them regular, but our patrol officers, they won't handle the investigative part. They kind of do the preliminary, and they hand it off to traffic homicide. Then traffic homicide would do the investigation, to do the measurements, call out Justin with the drone. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. The troopers are traffic homicide investigators. No one they call out. They are them, right?
No, actually, our rank of corporal is the traffic homicide investigator.
Okay.
And so they do strictly those cases where, unless if it's a single vehicle, single occupant, I think a road trooper may do that preliminary workup. But our corporals, THI investigators, they do those investigations exclusively.
Are they? It's each troop has one on shift, or like how does that work out as far as how they're spread out? Or is there like a place to call, and then they respond from that place.
So each troop, and there's really 10 operational troops, and then there's some administrative troops out of Tallahassee. But each troop, as you would know it, Troop E, Miami, they have their own ranks of corporal there. Mm-hmm. They don't typically work. They're investigators, so they'll get called out at night, or they're doing admin duties during the day, and they'll go if they're called. But then there's a separate Bureau of Criminal Investigation and Intelligence, which does different type of investigations. And oftentimes there are the task force officers with the DEA or other federal agencies. Or we have a lot of highway shootings in South Florida. Our BCI investigators go out and do the crime scene there and try to work up the case. And
what's a BCI?
It's a Bureau of Criminal Investigations and Intelligence.
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
I was trying to assume.
And we're adapting to going outside of our comfort zone as an agency to investigating everyday crimes, serious crimes on the interstate, because really the larger local agencies here in town, in Broward, Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, and throughout the state have said, hey, if you can work it, please do. We have enough to deal with. So we've had to adapt. And that's part of the culture change that we're going through right now is who would have thought the highway patrol would have troopers, investigators investigating what the normal police department or sheriff's office is investigating. And so we're learning how to do that. And we're doing a good job, I think.
Are troopers always their number one priority? And I'm talking all states. Mm-hmm. Or there are different troopers in different states. They're more like state law enforcement. I mean, you guys are state law enforcement, but they're geared towards traffic. Florida Highway Patrol. I mean, the name is Florida Highway Patrol.
Correct.
But in, like, let's say, I don't know.
You're watching it in Pennsylvania right now because they're looking for that escape prisoner.
There you go.
Right. So you've got the Pennsylvania state, which is also where they don't wear badges.
Weird.
Pennsylvania state troopers just have patches on their sleeves, but Pennsylvania state trooper.
Right.
Pennsylvania state police, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the tradition is in the northeastern states, you have state polices. The South was very, they were a little sketched out by overreach by state government, right? So what you see in more of the southern states and maybe southern western states are state patrols or state highway patrols. Mm. With a traffic-centric focus, whereas in the New England northeastern area,
what are you, a statey?
You statey, right?
That's from Boston. What are you, statey?
Yeah, and they kind of do what sheriff's offices down here do. So, like, sheriff's offices traditionally respond to unincorporated areas.
Right.
Now, in urban South Florida, they do contracts with the cities, but in the northeastern states, state polices really fill that gap where there's no police department in a city. And then the sheriff traditionally just does corrections duties.
You see?
That's always an interesting thing. And that's, you bring up a great point. And that's, being a criminal justice major in college. And you learn about a little bit of that, but don't learn totally. There's semantics across the country on how law enforcement is broken up and how they're organized.
Which, attending and traveling and doing things with my YouTube channel, I'm meeting people and I'm like, so, and I ask questions like, wait, so you guys do what are you doing? And then you guys do the wait. So everyone has different things. And I was like, I just found it very interesting. And so if you weighed in and kind of cleared the air there
It comes from a general distrust that the Southerners had for probably a lot of historical reasons of overreach by the state government and an emphasis on local control. And that's why we have strong sheriffs, and the highway patrol has a specified duty. We love that duty. We embrace it. The more general crime investigation goes on by FDLE, but again, to support local agencies, local agencies are really the core law enforcement in the state of Florida and most southern states as well.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with our last segment. We're going to get deep on this one. And then we will be right back.
Awesome.
Real quick, wanted to talk to you about Battle Warrior Coffee. I know the owners personally. They're fellow law enforcement officers. I told them that I would shout them out. I've had their coffee. It is delicious. So it's a veteran-owned, law enforcement-operated company originated out of Miami, Florida. It started by three Army veterans turned police officers who say coffee got them through many difficult times through their career and still does today. Their goal is to get every warrior to overcome their personal battles
one cup of coffee at a time. Visit their website at battlewarriorcoffee.com or follow them on IG at Battle Warrior Coffee. Again, at Battle Warrior Coffee. Use the code DONUT and get 15% off your first order, or you can visit them at fedsapparel.com. They're under veteran-owned companies and Leo-owned companies. There's also a discount code there for 15% off by using DONUT. DONUT gets you 15% off. Just put DONUT everywhere you go, and you get 15% off of this coffee. All right, let's get back to the show.
Here we go.
You ready?
Sure.
Dun, dun, dun. I always like to ask this question to people up there and the executives. As a leader, what do you think, if you can speak on something that was one of your hardest decisions that you had to make, and why was it hard? What were you weighing between the two?
So I can tell you, and I'm a new administrator. I've been a police officer, a prosecutor, elected official. But really, as an administrator, as a chief executive of a department of almost 5,000 people, it's the personnel decisions that are the most difficult, right? And we come from a place of, if a trooper makes a mistake, we're not here to discipline them. Let's learn from it, right, together. And so that's our governing mantra at the Florida Highway Patrol now. But there were mistakes that were made prior to my appointment in January from prior leadership. I'll just leave it at that. And one of those issues, and I had learned about it before I was even appointed, because as it became apparent that the governor was going to make this appointment to this position and that it was probably going to be me, organically I started to learn the leadership and meet people. And one of the things that had happened, and I'm not going to use specifics or names, but a trooper had, it had been alleged that a trooper did something horrific. The trooper went through the investigative process criminally, administratively, was arrested by a local jurisdiction for that alleged heinous crime. And then it turned out, as over time, it was a false allegation, and the victim, we know the stories, right? So people allege things against cops all the time, and it turns out that none of it's true. Our own inspector general did an investigation, a criminal investigation, found it totally unfounded, and eventually there was a recantment by the victim.
Oh, wow.
And so he was, arrested but not charged, or he was charged and then it was dropped, and he was hired by a sheriff's office, and it was told to him by a prior leader that if all that happens and you're cleared, we're going to take you back, right? And no department is better than the next department, but troopers love to be troopers, right? Yep. Deputies love to be deputies, whatever. But troopers come to that agency because they love what they do, and they love to wear the uniform, whatever it is. And so when I learned about it, I started to dig into it. And I feel like leadership has to be repairing mistakes of the past if you can, and particularly in the law enforcement space, right? Because cops are alleged to do bad things all the time, and oftentimes it's not true. You guys are targets of hate, of vitriol, and you have a lot of authority. And so when you add those two together, like you said earlier, whenever you go to a call, it's never a good thing.
Yeah.
So in my heart, like it just broke my heart that this guy, he was still in law enforcement, but he never got back to the highway patrol. And so I got to know him. I called him up one day and, I said, so walk me through what really happened and what was told to you. And eventually I figured out that if we reward people for making false allegations and we let that affect the life and career of a law enforcement officer, then we're not being leaders, right? So when mistakes are made or, something happens, it needs to be fixed. If I have the power to fix it, I will. And so I said, we're gonna hire this guy back. And, of course there were senior level patrol, majors and lieutenant colonels that were like, sir, I'm here to serve you and this is not in your best interest. It's gonna cause controversy. And You know, and that was one of the moments where I said, I don't really care at the end of the day what controversy is started. If kind of like the street racing thing, if we let it go unabated, if we let false allegations go unabated and we don't repair the damage that's been done to that trooper, that officer, that deputy, then we're taking part in it. And so I hired him or her back. He or she has been back on the patrol for 4 months, and he's or she has been a superstar. And his whole life has changed for the positive. And he said, every time I see a black and tan drive by, my heart breaks. That was, you know, right before I told him we were going to hire him. And he has family in the patrol. And you know, so it feels amazing to do the right thing. But what I've learned is leading up to that decision, there may be anxiety. There may be hesitation. And there's a quote that I rely upon from Sun Tzu that says, he who hesitates has a bit of bad luck. And I found that to be true, particularly in the law enforcement space. If you hesitate to use deadly force, if you hesitate to turn your blue lights on when you think something's going on, when you hesitate to take enforcement action.
Or to put handcuffs on that person.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So leadership should be about making sure these state troopers or those sheriff's deputies or those police officers work for leadership that will make sure that they never hesitate, that they will do what they need to do when they need to do it to keep the public safe. And my job is to have their back, and then they won't have bad luck. And it's that simple.
So you had some influence maybe saying, and probably not the best look for you if you bring this person back. Did you have any people maybe like they were like, he needs to come back. So did you have like, both?
I had mostly, you know, my candid duty is to inform you that you're going to get ridiculed or it's going to be. But I did lean on a retired two-star general from the Marine Corps, General Hartzell. So department heads are called either secretary of the department or executive director. And so executive directors typically are more in a law enforcement space, and we report to the governor cabinet. Doesn't matter. But Secretary Hartzell is a retired two-star general over our Veterans Affairs. Oh. And he's been an informal mentor of mine as a new department head. And so when I was with him, I said, I know the answer, General, but I just want to hear it from a two-star general. Yeah. Am I doing it? He said, what are you even thinking about? Do it. And don't ever worry about the consequence of doing the right thing. And that's stuck with me.
So when a decision like that, you call a meeting and listen to everyone and hear them out. And, you know, I mean, I think as a leader, I lead in different facets of my life, but you got to listen to everything, both sides, and take the good, the bad, and make that decision. And at the end, ultimately, it's your decision. Is that like some of your process as a leader up top?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've learned that you have to delegate, but more importantly, you have to trust the leadership team around you. And that's why it's important that when I came in, and you hear about sheriffs coming in and cleaning house and all this kind of crazy stuff. Yeah. I didn't do that because more likely than not, the folks that have risen to that level have done a professional job and they have a skill set, but I wanted them to have an opportunity to earn the right to stay in those senior level positions. And some of them made it and some of them didn't. But where I'm at now is I have a core team of leaders around me that I trust with my life, and leadership, half the battle I've learned is having people you trust around you that are intelligent, well-informed, and have your best interests at heart.
So you're not a fan of the yes man?
I'm not, and I'm not a yes man.
Yeah.
Right? So I report to the governor and the cabinet, and I tell them or their subordinates who I report to, the deputy chiefs of staff and whatnot, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's my duty as a law enforcement officer, as an attorney when I represented clients. We know the yes men, and we know that they have yes men, or we know the leaders that have yes men around them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the king who didn't have his robe on or whatever that story is.
Yeah.
Nothing they can do is wrong. Everything they do is the best. Everyone is rah, 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 and they're doing that leader such a disservice. And
yes.
I end every meeting with, so tell me what I can do better and give me some criticism, and, you know, don't be too tough about it. But I'm new. I'm younger than most of them.
Yeah.
It's a very culture heavy agency, how can I come in and know the right thing to do every time?
That's a thing. Especially when so not to quote my boy Delrish Moss again, but the cops, they hate two things, right? When things stay the same and when things change. Such a wise statement. Right? So the cops hate two things. And so coming in as you know, a new leader, no matter what you do, you're gonna get the blowback either way. Yep. But I can see by the experience already and things you've done and the track and just by what you're talking about and future policy, I think FHP is gonna be all right. And I think there's gonna be an influx to that. BeATrooper.com.
Yeah. BeATrooper.com.
That's right.
I always joke I wasn't tall enough to be a trooper, so I had to become executive director. but you know, that's the old highway patrol, right?
Yeah.
It had to be this person, this height, this.
Yeah.
The Highway Patrol of today is a diverse organization, both in its people, in its mission, in its duties, and in its equipment. And it's an awesome place to work if you're going to be in law enforcement.
We love the social media stuff. They just did there was a reel that they did with a guy and a girl, and they went through the stages of uniform. Really creative reel. I thought it was really cool. I'll put it on the screen now. Don't worry. Super cool.
Yeah, the social media team has grown a lot.
And Molly Best. I think you worked with her.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Molly. Oh, okay. So Molly worked Best on that reel.
She's the communications director. Okay. One of the first things I did when I came in is I got a communications director that knew law enforcement, that was passionate about law enforcement, and would get our message out there, because you guys know better than I do. You got to be good at your game on the social media stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way people consume information. And if I don't have that type of person at this organization, then I'm doing a disservice to the Highway Patrol. And her team has been outstanding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just want to congratulate you on them. They're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
With that being said, sir, I think we're going to wrap it here, but we would love to have you back if you would come visit us here at the Donut Shop. And I'm going to beat you on the gifts, by the way. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for coming and sharing. If there's anything you want to wrap with to the audience, let them know again where they can go, you know, the mission. Just kind of sum it up again.
Yeah, let me just brag on the two of you for a minute with an eye towards the audience, right? So people are watching this, maybe are interested in law enforcement, are in law enforcement, maybe they want to get out, or just a general member of the public. And what you two are doing and have done for law enforcement in talking about behind the scenes, real issues that police officers go through, what you've done with your work for police cars, iconic piece of equipment in law enforcement.
Thank you.
I can tell you, not as the executive director, but as a Floridian, and as a supporter of law enforcement, I appreciate the passion that you bring, the topics you discuss, and the wisdom in which you discuss it, and the guests that you bring are outstanding. And I support you guys 1,000%. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you. Well,
you killed it.
We didn't pay him for that.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks again. Appreciate it. All right.
I like the clinking of the glasses better before this awkward.
We don't have glasses.
Thanks. Later. Right.
Calling all units, calling all units. Donut Shop has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.